and thankful for how the Lord worked in my life even as a child. But then again, when I was 10 years old, I came to church because, well, mom and dad said it was time to go to church. You know, you don't have a whole lot of say in that when you're 10 years old. So we went to church, but the Lord used that in my life. We had a missionary who came and he presented his work. To this day, I don't remember who the missionary was. I don't remember the field. I don't remember any of those details, but I knew as a 10-year-old, God was calling me to missions. Quite honestly, I'm not sure I knew exactly what missions was, because if I did, it'd probably scare me half to death. I would have run the other way. But I knew the gist of it. I was going to go somewhere, wherever it was, God called me to go, and I was going to tell people about Jesus. And I was going to start a church in that place. That's about all I knew. But I am so glad for my parents, because you know how this is, and I was telling them, I think, at lunchtime today about this. You know, a 10-year-old, one day they're going to be a police officer, the next day they're going to be a fireman, the next day they're going to, you know how that goes. Okay, you know, I jumped in the truck after church was over and says, Mom, Dad, God's called me to be a missionary. And you know what runs through parents' minds at that point. You know, okay, we have tomorrow to be a policeman, then the next to be a fireman. And, but my parents were very wise. They didn't just, you know, just try to shut it down or whatever. They just said, David, you just do whatever God wants you to do. And there's not any better advice to give our children than that right there. And so I'm thankful. And obviously it wasn't just an emotional thing for that night. It was something God did in my heart, even as a 10-year-old. So I'm thankful for what God did there. Went to college. That's where we met. Very thankful. Lord brought a wonderful wife into my life. We married right after I finished my college education. I finished in December. We got married in December. Praise the Lord. And then Barb did one more semester of student teaching, finished up, got her degree, and then we actually started Deputation. We went to the field of Alaska. We spent 10 years in Alaska planting churches there, first in Juneau, Alaska, working with some missionaries that had been there a couple years prior to us getting there, helped us get our footing, get established in Alaska. It was really good for us. But by the time we left there, that ministry was busting at the seams. I mean, it was just doing great. We loved our time there in Juneau, but God was calling us to Talkeetna, Alaska. In case you're wondering, yes, it is in the middle of nowhere, okay? It was an improvement, though, in some ways, because I don't know if you know this little tidbit about Alaska. Juneau is the capital, but you cannot drive in or out of the capital city. Boat or plane is the only two ways in or out of the capital. But now Talkeetna, it was on the road system. It was a little dusty road system, but it was the road system, all right? So we were on the road system. But just amazing what the Lord did there. Helped us to establish Talkeetna Baptist Church. Thankful for what God did. All we can say is God did it. I just thought we'd be in Alaska the rest of our lives planting churches there. That's what I just knew. That's what God had for me and had God had for us and our family. God gave us two sons while we lived in Alaska. They were both born there, and both sons till today still serving the Lord and thankful for how Lord's using them. But, sometimes God brings things into your life that you don't expect. Okay, now let me back up and just say this. God expects it. God knows it. God ordered it. Okay. He brought into my life, the Far North director of BIMI called and said, I want you to pray about something with me. I said, okay, sure, I'll pray about it. And by the way, be careful when you say that. He said, I want you to pray about the possibility of you becoming the next Far North director of BIMI. And I said, John Halsey was his name. I said, Brother Halsey, I said, I don't even need to pray about that. There's no way God would have me do that. I'm here in Alaska for the rest of my life to plant churches. And again, long story made short, because I promised I would pray about it, I had to pray about it. And when I began to pray about it, God really started to burden my heart. And I understood through counsel, the word of God, prayer, all of those things, this is what God had. So for us, almost 21 years ago, we moved from Alaska to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to assume the role of Far North Director. And again, it's just neat to see how God provided for us. We put a sign at the road to sell our house. We're in the bush of Alaska. Where does that happen? In a month, the house was sold. It was done. We left the house, drove to Anchorage, to the hotel where we were staying that night. I sold our van in the hotel parking lot, and the next day we took the airport shuttle to the airport and got in the airplane and flew to Chattanooga, Tennessee. So God takes care of details. He really does. We moved there. That was an adjustment for our family, too, after being in Alaska for 10 years. It's a little warmer on this side of the country, this part, than it is in Alaska. But, we adjusted well. I became the Far North Director, did that for 7 years. And again, the chairman of the trustees came to me and said, Brother Snyder, I want you to pray about something with me. I said, sure, okay, I'll pray about it with you. I didn't learn my lesson. He said, I want you to pray about the possibility of becoming the next president and general director of BIMI. And I just came up with every excuse in the book why I was not the guy for that job. Because I was going to be the Far North director for the rest of my life. That's just the way it was, okay? Again, long story made short, here I am, almost 14 years later. Now I've served as the president and general director of BIMI. 760 missionaries, 100 different fields of the world. What does that mean? It just means I'm in over my head. So I need your prayers. We've got prayer cards on the back table. Please pick one of those up. Pray with us. And we'll talk about some specific requests as we go through the message tonight, even and when we come to the end also. But pray, because prayer is so very important. And I'm going to touch on that in the message tonight as well. Also on the table, besides prayer cards, there's other things, different fields of the world represented. Pick up those. BIMI World magazines. I brought, I think, enough for everybody, and I'd love to see them all disappear. I really would, okay? Some people say, well, it's a magazine. Does that cost money? Okay, listen, for Emmanuel Baptist Church, we will run a special, okay? Normally, they are free. Tonight, they're half price. You can't beat that, right? Okay, so please pick one of these up, take it with you. There's a lot in here to read about. I pick a theme for BIMI every year. The theme this year is Total Consecration to Reach Every Nation. And so the editorial talks about that theme and what that means. And you'll find all kinds of other articles in here. I think they'll just be encouraging to you as far as what God is doing around the world. So pick this up, take it with you. If you're a person that likes to click online and look at this computer screen. This is all on BIMI.org. You can see them there as well. So do that if you would. But also I'll mention here as well, because I see a few young people in the room, Camp Bimmy. Pick up a brochure for Camp Bimmy. And I say young people. Young is a relative term, right? Okay. We have 65-year-olds that come to Camp Bimmy. So that's still young. Amen. All right. I get one amen in the room. All right, I thought I'd get more than that, but that was good. All right. Camp Bimmy is an experience like none other, and if it's not something for you, keep it in mind for someone else possibly. It is a week of concentrated missions. There's even one or two Bible colleges that give college credit for what goes on at Camp Bimmy, because we teach classes that week that are college-level classes. So it's not the kind of camp where you ride a pony and shoot the BB gun, which that's fine. I like those kind of camps too, but it's just not that kind of camp. This is a missions intensive week, and everything that we do points back to missions and the possibility of missions for each one. We don't try and talk anybody into missions, because I learned a long time ago, if I can talk somebody into missions, somebody else can talk them out of missions. But we give them information and try to inspire them about missions. And, hey, consider this. A lot of the people coming to Camp Bimmy already know they're called to missions. They're just not sure where. Well, we take a trip around the world during the whole week and talk about the needs around the world, give people opportunities to pray about things. We bring in a missionary off the field to preach for us for the week. And I can't say enough good about Camp Bimmy. It is a great thing. So even if not for you, pick one up if there's somebody that you know of that might be of interest to them. And I know they'll have a good time. They'll eat some food that they've never eaten before. Okay. It's international meals, but you have to at least try it. Okay. Because I think I told Josh today, none of it crawls off your plate, so it's not too bad, all right? We don't get too extreme with this thing, but you leave and your palate will have been challenged isn't a good word. That sounds scary. It'll be excited. It'll be just, it'll love everything that it eats. I've never had anything bad at Camp Bimmy. Now, the camel's milk we had was a little interesting, but I liked everything that I had. So if you have more questions, anything that comes to your mind, I will be around after church. We're going to head back to Chattanooga, but we'll be hanging around for just a little while before we leave, and I'd love to answer any questions that you have. So let's get into the Word of God tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. And verse 21 is going to be our text verse, but I'm going to back up a little bit and just throw a little context in here for us so that we all can kind of get to where we are as far as to that particular verse. Exodus chapter 14, as you come to Exodus 13 and just prior to that, you'll remember all the plagues that God sent on Egypt and all that. And by the way, all that is just an amazing story of the sovereignty of God and God showing his power over each of the gods, small g, plural, of Egypt. But you'll remember that God then does deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt in a miraculous way. As you come to chapter 14, this is really interesting. Read this sometime on your own. I don't have time to get into this. But it's very interesting. The first several verses of chapter 14, God, very specifically directs the children of Israel where to go next. And the story you're going to see us come to is them at the Red Sea. The Red Sea in front of them, the army of Egypt behind them. God directed them to this very difficult spot. It's interesting how God does that, but he has reasons for it. That's the side sermon, all right? So that's just free for the night on our way there, okay? So God directs them there, puts them in that place. Verse 10 says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Moses, you should have never let us leave. We were better off back there. Well, you know how the story goes. Finally, the Lord says, I've got this all planned out, Moses, just one step at a time. We'll get there. There's a reason for all of this. And verse 15, let me just start reading in verse 15 down through verse number 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And notice with me particularly verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. In verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this account from Scripture. Thank you for your watch care over Israel. And the instructions that you gave them, the guidance that you gave them, Lord, help us now, help me now, as I bring this message, to bring it in the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would be with each one who is a believer, each one of your children. Help them to be Spirit-filled as listeners. God, help us to be not only hearers, but doers of your word, that we'd be changed, we'd be better for having been in your house this evening. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. From verse 21, there's three things that I just really want to stress tonight. First of all, I want you to see there the stretched out hand. The stretched out hand. Obviously, that has to do with Moses. God told him to stretch out his hand over the sea. And then that's his responsibility. Number two, I want you to see the sea pushed back. That's the mighty power of God. That's not anything Moses did. That's what God did. And then number three, I want you to see the strong east winds, wind, which is the means which God ordained. God could have chosen any way he so desired to push that water back, but he used wind, something that all of us know about. So first of all, let's look at the stretched out hand. That is man's responsibility. So when we come to Red Sea situations in our lives, and I'm going to let you apply that tonight however you want. It can be just difficulties in life. Now, the main application I'm going to make is the Great Commission. God has said to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Stop and think about that a minute. That's impossible, humanly speaking. But with God, all things are possible. So when we come to those Red Sea situations, what is our responsibility? Well, number one, it's our responsibility to pray. Pray. It sounds trite, but oh, prayer is so important. And it is our responsibility to pray, but not just to pray in faith, believing. You know, I thought about what Jeremiah said when God said there, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We're to pray. Pray in faith, believing. Moses' prayer is not recorded here in our text, but it's interesting. He did cry to the Lord. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? So Moses did cry to the Lord. He did pray to the Lord. And it's very interesting that his, I'm going to say it this way, his prayer of faith is the one that prevailed with God, unlike the cries of disbelief, if you will, of the children of Israel. Because remember verse 10 that we looked at a minute ago at the end? And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The Lord didn't answer their prayer because their prayer was a prayer of fear. Moses' prayer was a prayer of faith. God, we know you have this under control. We don't know what his prayer is, but he did cry out to the Lord. For you and I, let's not pray prayers of fear, but prayers of faith. James says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like the wave of a sea, driven with the wind and is tossed. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. We are to pray in faith. Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Prayer, praying in faith. What do we pray for? Well, there's a lot of things to pray for. Pastor mentioned I'm going to give you a couple prayer requests. So let's start right here, right now. Would you pray for laborers? Amen. Laborers for God's harvest field. Do you realize that as you read through the Gospels in the New Testament, next time you do that, look at how many different prayer requests Jesus Christ gives. And when he says, here, pray about this, or pray about this, or pray about this, you'll find this interesting. There's really only one prayer request that Jesus gives. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest field. Isn't it interesting that Jesus could have given us 100 different things to pray for, but he narrowed it down to one? That's pretty amazing to me. You know, I think if he did that, he really expects us to pray that. And here's a question. This is a question that's a challenge, so don't answer it out loud. Just answer this in your hearts. If he gave us that prayer request to pray, and I believe and I know he expects us to pray that, when is the last time you prayed in faith, believing for God to send forth laborers into his harvest field? We hear that verse quoted all the time. I quote it all the time. I preach it all the time. I pray every day for more laborers. That's mainly because of where I sit and what I see going on in the world, you know, and I fellowship with missionaries all the time that are like, preacher, tell them, we need help. We need help. We need laborers. We need laborers. We need to pray for more laborers. So how do we pray for more laborers? All right, here's another challenge for you. This is going to get real specific. Would you pray this prayer? Lord, please let me be a missionary. Not, Lord, do you want me to be a missionary? Lord, would you please let me be a missionary? You say, Brother Snyder, if I pray that, God might call me to be a missionary. He might. Praise the Lord. Guess what? He might not. He might say, you need to stay right where you are. Continue serving right where you are. By the way, even at Camp Bimby, we have a class. It's all about that. Hey, ready to go, but called to stay. So not God doesn't call everybody to go. But there's nothing wrong with praying that prayer. Lord, would you let me go? So if you say, now, Brother Snyder, I don't know if I can pray that one. Here's another one. Maybe you'll take me up on this one. Lord, would you let my children and or would you let my grandchildren be missionaries? That one kind of gets a little close to home, doesn't it? But I believe we need to pray for that. Lord, would you let my children, Lord, would you let my grandchildren be missionaries? And you say, now, Brother Snyder, I don't know that I can pray in faith, believing about either of that. That's a tough one for me. Okay, I'm going to give you one more choice. I'm a nice guy. I like multiple choice. It's a whole lot better than, you know, fill in the blank on this. That's tough, all right? Would you pray this? Lord, would you call someone from this assembly into full-time missionary service? You say, who's it going to be? Let that up to the Lord. It doesn't matter. But pray. Pray in faith, believing. Lord, would you let me be a missionary? Lord, would you let my children, my grandchildren be a missionary? Lord, would you call someone from this church into full-time missions? I'll tell you what. it'll turn your church upside down to see God call somebody from this assembly to help them get to the field and to continue to support them while they're there, to be the sending church for a missionary. It's amazing what God will do in and through this church as a result of that. So we need to pray. Pray in faith, believing. Boy, so much more I could say there about prayer, but it is of utmost importance. Missionaries are not just looking for financial support. They need financial support. I don't know about the Cantors, but I like to buy groceries. You know, we like support. It's an important thing, okay? But I'll tell you what, to have the financial support and not have the prayer support, oh, that just doesn't work. Both are necessary. So let's pray. Pray for more laborers. Pray for the laborers that are out there. But then we also need to put feet to our prayers. In verse 15 there of our text, the Lord answers Moses' prayer. He says, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." He says, here's the answer. God says, I've already got this worked out. He says, it's time for them to go forward. You just need to start taking steps in that direction. Oh, you, Lord, I don't see any rowboats out there. How are we getting across that water? You know, when the wind started and the wall started to form, Lord, I'm not sure that the OSHA would not approve of those walls. I'm not sure that there's a lot of safety there. The Lord says, no, I've got it worked out. Just head that direction. By the way, when you surrender to missions or you surrender to the Lord's will in any sense of the way, God doesn't always give you 10 steps ahead. Matter of fact, God rarely gives you 10 steps ahead. God just says, here's the next step. Take that one. Here's the next step. Here's the general direction. Just head that direction. God says, hey, put feet to your prayers. You pray about that, then start moving forward. God said, hey, I've got the rest worked out in verse 16 through 20. We already talked about that. Moses was supposed to stretch out his hand. God would divide the sea, verse 16. Israel would walk on dry ground. The Egyptians would then be destroyed. You know the rest of that story. And by the way, can I remind you, Israel didn't know the rest of that story? You know, how many of us heard this story when we were this tall, so we knew the outcome of it. They were in the middle of it. They had no idea how this was going to come out. God says, I've got this, and his angel would protect them from the Egyptians, which he did. So it is our responsibility to pray, and it's our responsibility to obey. Put feet to our prayers. Pray and obey. Israel was supposed to, verse 15, go forward, straight ahead. Can I remind you tonight, God would not have blessed going around to the right or going around to the left. Now, I'm just going to be transparent here with you. For me, that's probably what I would have started to do. Lord, let's send some scouts. You know, let's send them down here. Maybe we can get around this body of water if we go to the right. Or maybe if we go to the left, maybe we can find a way around. Or, you know, hey, anybody got some buckets? Let's see if we can start bailing. You know, we'll figure out a way. But God said, no, it's not to the right, it's not to the left, and it's definitely not turning around. Go forward. That's the directions that God gave. It was very clear. When God gives all of us directions, let's just do what he says. Sometimes I like to think, well, Lord, wouldn't it be easier if God says, this isn't about easy, this is about obedience. And I've got a reason for the forward. And you and I, we know what the reason is because we've read the rest of the story. Moses was supposed to lift his rod, stretch out his hand, and God was not going to bless any other action. That's what he told Moses to do. And I just wrote down several reminders of obedience, but can I say it this way, maybe complete obedience. You know, later, you remember the story about Moses' disobedience. He was supposed to speak to the rock, but he smote it. He lived to regret that. I thought about Nadab and Abihu. They were offering fire to the Lord, but it was a strange fire. And they died because of it. Saul says, well, you know, we went to the Amalekites and we saved the best for sacrifice. And, you know, Samuel said, no, to obey is better than sacrifice. Complete obedience is important. When they brought the ark back from Kirjath-Jearim, Uzzah put forth his hand to touch it, to steady it. God says, that's not what you're supposed to do. And he died right there. He was trying to do the right thing, but it was in disobedience. Ananias and Sapphira, you remember them? Hey, giving an offering to the church is a good thing, but when you lie about it, it's not a good thing. So complete obedience is important for you and I. So the stretched out hand, that is man's responsibility to bring this thing down to its simplest form, pray and obey. Pray and obey. So the second thing I want you to see here from verse 21 is the sea pushed back. This is the mighty power of God. Notice that the Bible says the Lord caused the sea to go back. The Lord caused this to happen, not Moses. Yes, Moses lifted his rod and stretched forth his hand. We'll talk about that in a moment. But God is the one who did the work. Psalm 78, verse 13 says, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. God is the one who needs to do the work if it's going to be a lasting work. You know, sometimes you and I, well, I've been saved now for X number of years. You know, I got all this figured out. That's when we get into trouble. Let God do the work. You know, sometimes I think God in heaven says, well, if you want to do the work, go ahead. And he just waits. And then after I make a mess of it, then I go back and say, Lord, would you do this? And the Lord says, sure, you should have asked the first time. Let the Lord do the work. He's the one that has to do the work. But it is interesting, as I mentioned before, God used Moses' stretched out hand and the lifted rod. That's an amazing thing to me, that God uses you and I, even though he's the one who does the work. I don't have all of that figured out, but I can just say this. I'm glad God uses me. He doesn't have to. There's so many different scriptures that come to my mind here. John 15:5, Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. We can't do it on our own. God's the one who has to do it, but he still does it through us. I thought about the feeding of the 5,000. You know the story. Do you realize that Jesus could have taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and could have made the food appear in the laps of the people? He's God. He could have made it appear in their stomachs. They might not have even had to have eaten it. But do you remember what he did? He gave the food to the disciples. He didn't have to use them. But he said, now you go and feed them. Do you realize what it was like to be one of those disciples and to see God work a miracle over and over again every time you reached into that basket and started to pass out? I would have loved to have been one of those disciples to experience what God was doing, but that he was doing it through me. What an amazing thing. Aren't you glad God says, hey, I want to use you? And we just need to be willing to step up to the plate and, as we said, pray and obey, but then let God do the work. And notice also in verse 22, it's the Lord who kept the water back. It's the Lord who did this. Every Israelite came through safely. Can I just throw out here a little free nugget on eternal security? When God starts it, God finishes it. And I'm glad for that. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So I'm glad to know all of that. But let's bring it into the realm of our service for him. When God lays on our hearts something to do for him, again, I'm going to stress missions because that's just who I am. God calls someone, that person that we're praying about, whether it's us or children or grandchildren or someone from this assembly. Okay, we're praying, God, please, you know, call somebody to missions, call me to missions. And God says, okay, now it's time to be a missionary. How's it going to get done? We're not going to do it. God is the one who's going to do it. And when God starts the work in us, he will finish that work. You know, a lot of times I'm wondering, there's certain things that come onto my plate and what I do now. And it's the same as when I was back in Alaska. Things come up in ministry and you're thinking, Lord, how in the world are you going to solve this problem? Because I can't. This is way beyond me. This is a Red Sea plus some. And I pray often when I pray, Lord, do something here that only you can do. And boy, it's not a position I want to be in. But it is amazing that when God finishes the work he starts, I say, thank you, Lord, because I've seen God do something that only God can do to bring us through that Red Sea situation in our life. How does God do that? Third and final point tonight, the strong east wind, the means which God ordained. The Bible says there in verse 21, by a strong east wind all that night. I don't know if you kind of, I'm sure everybody can think back to a time somewhere when you go to bed at night and you're laying in bed and the wind whips up and boy, it just howls. Isn't that an eerie feeling, an eerie sound, especially if you have a big tree in the back, you're not sure if it's going to stay standing, you know, it might come up against your house, you know. Can you imagine all that night, a strong east wind, a wind strong enough to push back the Red Sea? That must have been phenomenal to be there, to experience that, to hear it. What an amazing, miraculous thing that God did. And you know, it's verse 21 says, and he made the sea dry land. I mean, it was dusty. It was dry land. The waters were a wall unto them, the Bible says, there on the right hand and on the left. I think about things like this. Maybe y'all aren't like this, but when I read through Scripture, I try to use my sanctified imagination, okay? So y'all that can do that, you do that with me. Can you imagine being an Israelite, and now you've seen God push this water back? Can I just remind you there was more than like two or three Israelites? I mean, some estimates are up to like a million. So it had to be pushed back pretty far to get them through all in one night. So imagine that getting pushed back, and now you start to walk. And quite honestly, it's dusty. So, you know, people in front of you, hey, keep down the dust. You know, we're walking through the sea here. Now, I don't know about you. I'm just this way. I would have wanted to get over next to the wall. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, I honestly wouldn't to touch it. Does your hand get wet? Does it feel cold? You know, I'd be looking in too. Is there anything swimming in there? You know, I wouldn't want to put my finger and push through it or anything like that because I'd get some people upset with me. But in all seriousness, can you imagine that experience of walking through the Red Sea on dry ground? I don't know how tall those walls are, but I would have been looking up. It's amazing what God is doing. It's phenomenal. Do you realize that when they got to the other side, they had a story to tell that they told, dare I say, for the rest of their lives? God brought us to a place. We didn't understand why he brought us there. It was one of the most difficult spots we've ever been. We couldn't turn around. We couldn't go to the right. We couldn't go to the left. God, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, God, with a strong east wind, pushed these walls back, the water back, made them walls, and we walked through. God brings things into our lives, and if we'll let it, God will use those circumstances to strengthen us for the next Red Sea situation that we come to. God's just that way. God knows how to use common, ordinary things like strong east winds to do miraculous things. You know, God worked that way all the way through Scripture. I think about David, King David. A simple shepherd boy. They had to go find him to bring him in, to anoint him to be king. Amos, I can identify with Amos. He's just an old farmer. But boy, God used him in an amazing way. James and John, Peter and Andrew, just fishermen. But God used them, ordinary men, in an amazing way. Matthew, sorry to remind you that it's tax season again. A tax collector. God, if God can use a tax collector, guess what? He can use me. Praise God. There's so many examples we see of that all throughout Scripture. But what that tells me is that God can and God wants to use simple, ordinary folks just like you and me. You know, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You say, well, I'm not qualified. I can't do that. Hey, in Japan right now, do you realize the presentation we saw tonight? If we sent 100 missionaries there tonight, we wouldn't even begin to scratch the surface of what's needed. That's only one place in the world. Well, I'm not qualified to go do that. And this is nothing against them. Neither are they. Neither am I. I'm not qualified to go to Alaska. I'm surely not qualified to be the president of BIMI. It's not about how and if we're qualified. It's whether or not we're willing to obey. God uses strong east winds. God uses people like you. God uses people like me. As a matter of fact, he very plain about this in 1 Corinthians 1, not many wise and mighty and noble, foolish and weak and base things, but he uses I got it back mixed up. God doesn't use many wise and mighty and noble, but he uses the foolish, the weak, and the base, the despised things of this world. That's me. So I guess I am qualified in that sense, in that respect, from that portion of Scripture. I'm glad God uses folks just like you and like me. I really am. But it comes back to what we talked about earlier and this message in general. Our responsibility, pray and obey. Pray and obey. And if we pray and obey, God will, can we say this? He'll hear and he'll clear. He'll hear our prayer and he'll clear the way to do whatever it is he's calling us to do. And how's God going to do that? Well, he's going to do it through his people. If we're just willing to step up to the plate and say, God, would you use me? Prayer requests, I think I've covered a good number of them here. Pray. If there's nothing else you pray about, pray for more laborers for God's harvest field. Getting very specific, would you pray one of those three, if not all three of those specific requests that I gave you? It is an amazing thing to see what God's doing around the world. I am thrilled with the laborers that we see coming through BIMI. But I will tell you that not just BIMI, because I'm in communication with many different missions directors, all mission agencies that we know of are down as far as laborers that are coming through surrendering to missions. I'll say this, and it's very interesting to me, giving is up. So it's allowing our missionaries to do deputation quicker. It's a wonderful thing. But I remember when we did missions, our deputation some 33, 34 years ago, we would go to a missions conference, and it would be unusual if somebody, at least one person, didn't surrender to full-time missions during that missions conference. It was just kind of a normal thing. Now, it's kind of the opposite. If even one person does, it's so unusual. It's like, wow, what? This is amazing. What's the Lord doing here? Things have changed over the last 20 and 30 years. It's not a good change in that respect. But please don't be discouraged by what I'm saying. I'm just trying to encourage you to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, because God is still at work. God is still calling. And there are young people that are still surrendering. And boy, what a blessing it is to work in something like Camp Bimmy and to be part of our candidate school and to be part of a mission agency where we're seeing folks that have surrendered coming in, and we get to help them go and do what God's called them to do. And they get to see God do something amazing through them, who we're the nobodies. It's not about us. It's all about him.